another episode of Talk Sex with Podrick Payne. Sorry, dude, man.
Welcome back, Steve.
I know, yeah. We're back in real time. No more Skype nonsense. I do apologize. I hope you could make it. No.
Yeah, apparently, according to Claire's report, it was fucking dreadful. We were just cutting out left and right, so.
Well, great. Moppy. Well, it was either that or you would have got the episode the day of the new episode, so.
Who can decide?
Anyway, we apologize. That hopefully won't happen, because I don't want to travel 5,000 miles within a 3-day time frame.
Yeah, makes sense. But anyway, getting started.
Anyway, speaking of long journeys coming to an end, Danny finally is back on Dragonstone, and now we actually have some dialogue at the beginning of this episode. And yeah, I would definitely say, would you just say this is the probably stronger scenes in the series, in the episode, mostly because, like, all of the, like, the really good talkers and, like,
yeah,
are in there, like,
they just, like, got all the actors who love hearing themselves talk.
Oh, Olenna Tyrell, Tyrion Lannister, and Lord Varys.
Yeah, and then just had each of them just, like, speak to one another for, like, 10 minutes, and everyone's just like, oh, great, this is amazing, like, yay. And you immediately get, like, a fun, controversial, confrontation between Dany and Varys when you get, like, the whole, like, you get the whole Varys, like, man of the people, like, sobriquet kind of, like, figured out.
Yeah.
But,
yeah, that was such an interesting interaction.
Yeah, I mean, you understand Danny's consternation, I guess, right?
Like, oh, no, for sure.
Yeah, it's like, you just, like, totally tried to poison me that one time.
Yeah.
What was that about?
Well, so did Jorah, and she's forgiven him.
Yeah, dude, but he was a pawn. Like,
no, that's fair. Okay, yeah, Varys a string puller.
Yeah.
But I do get that, like, I'm glad that, I feel like series sometimes, like, tend to ignore these things, and I'm glad it was brought up, like, hey, like, I don't just automatically fucking trust you.
Yeah, exactly. All of the subtext is just text now.
Yeah.
Which is fine. There's only, like, 13 episodes left, so, like, they can't leave shit unexplained forever. Which is great, because that means every episode is going to be an explanation.
Because like, he showed up, I guess I realized, last season, did Varys show up in Meereen after Dany left on the dragon?
He did, right?
Okay.
He did. Yeah, it was like, he, like, rolled in. He, like, walked in right when, basically, like, Tyrion was, like, told that he has to stay home.
And like, rule.
Yeah, exactly. And it's like, oh, shit, I'm gonna be Hand of the King in, like, a really bad place. And then he just, like, walks from behind him. It's like, if only you had a fucking spy, Eunuch Bald. And, yeah, it was.
Spider.
Yeah, spidly mermaid.
Swish.
Yo, the mermaid theory got talked to on the like Ringer people who do their podcast.
Oh,
they brought up the mermaid theory really quickly, but Jason incorrectly attributed this theory to the fact that like Varys just went fucking back and forth between like on those boats so fast. When really it's dude swish swish.
it's swish.
Yeah, it's the way in which his robes are described as moving. That is why always will be the case. Favorite thing about the show. But anyway, I mean. Going into just, like, okay, so first scene, more, like, table setting. We get Dany and Varys, like, having their little, like, speech. And then you get the, what was after that? Oh, yeah, you get the little alternative speech from Olenna. Did you like that one? I thought that was kind of, like, I feel like that was almost a, I mean, the actress who plays Olenna is so tight that it's, like, would seem kind of stupid if she didn't say anything.
Yeah.
Kind of thing, because I felt like that was a pointless conversation to me.
Well, okay, so Let's break that down, because it was mostly in a reaction to not just, like, I guess not just the instinct not to immediately take King's Landing, but more or less, like, the fact that Dany is relying solely right now on what is Tyrion's plan.
Yeah.
She's not, like, taking her own initiative of, like, she's being assertive and, like, I don't want to take Westeros by blood. Great, she's got that point across, but, like, she's still relying on clever men, which I guess Olenna's warning her against. And in fairness, her warning did pay heed, because Tyrion's plan to go get the Martells has now cost them part of their fleet and, like, valuable hostages.
Yeah, but I don't know. Is that, like, really all? To me, that's one of those things where, you know, all right, he don't want to go to, like, King's Landing, but, like, I don't know. Who, like, I still don't think, I don't see that as like an indictment of the strategy at this point.
No,
but also,
right.
I get what that conversation was about. For me, it just felt kind of pointless because I thought it was like...
It was implied already?
Yeah. It's like, dude, Danny blows people off all the fucking time. Like, she doesn't like, Danny knows. Like, Danny knows, like, yeah, you don't need to be like, we don't need like fucking old lady Tyrell telling Danny that she's a boss. Like, Danny already knows she's a boss over years of bullshit.
No, that's, you know what I mean? Okay,
like,
that's fair.
Yeah, I just like think like, yeah. It's cool to go along every once in a while, man. Tyrion had a good plan. You let him try. He fucked it up, or he didn't fuck it up, but you know, Euron just happened to kind of just like barge his way into it.
Yeah.
Somehow. Also, how the fuck did he know where they were? Did he just assume? Was he just like?
He definitely was waiting. He's like a pirate, and he knows.
Snake in the grass.
Snake in the grass. Dude, Dragonstone is in it. Kraken's in the deep.
I mean, do you think Olenna is a spy?
No.
Do you think fucking Illyria is a spy? No, it couldn't be her.
My big thing is look at Dragonstone and like, okay, so the Iron Fleet sailed to King's Landing in this bay, which on the other end of the bay is Dragonstone. So like, it's very easy to like have your fleet
just
like
be waiting, basically.
Yeah. Like, I'm not a naval tactician, but I'm sure like, since it's so stormy and wintry now, like, it's just fucking probably dark all the time, and you can get away with, like, oh, like, our fleet is just beyond the horizon, and we're gonna move in as soon as we, like, see ships, you know, from our sails, like,
yeah,
fucking flying down. It's like, how did he know the sand snakes were on there? That's the real question there.
Like, the one boat he happened to hop on? I mean, that's just...
Well, I mean, I guess...
I mean, I guess it's flagship. It's probably the biggest one.
Yeah. I do wonder, though, like, it would suck, though, if it was just, like, Yara, and it's like, oh, fuck, I can't give you to Cersei, like, she's gotta murder you.
Yeah. Well, he definitely wouldn't have any qualms about that.
No, not at all.
Okay, yeah.
Like, he's said, what is the line in the first episode? Like, it's like, you murdered your brother, your siblings. It's like, yeah, you should try it sometime.
Yeah. Exactly.
But, okay. So, beyond that, I don't think anyone's a mole right now. If there is one, like, we just don't know about it. Because it looks like, based on the scene from next week and the plan to, like, attack Casterly Rock, I think that's going to work out for them. Because right now, it seems, I assume most of the Lannister army is, like, holding down King's Landing. Why? I don't know. It's fucking awful there. Literally, like, I love how this show is centered around fighting over what I consider to be the worst part of Westeros.
Yeah, it's like, and they go to great pains to describe how bad it is. I mean, they brought in Ed Sheeran just to basically tell us how shitty King's Landing is. Like, yeah, and everyone wants to go there because it's like, the chair is gross.
Yeah.
And like, also described as super uncomfortable.
Yeah,
and Danny already has a cool looking throne.
This is true.
Dragonstone's dope.
But okay, we'll probably come back to this a little. Just any quick theories on, like, how... I don't think we need to talk about what's going to happen to Ilaria and her daughter.
Yeah, I mean,
Ilaria... And we'll hop onto this, you know, again. But any quick theories onto, like, how this is going to affect the plan, Tyrion's plan, which is, as we know, currently... I don't recall what the Dothraki are doing. They might be going with the Unsullied. But it sounds like the Unsullied are sailing around the Sunset Sea. Curious as to why Euron didn't attack those ships either. But anyway, to attack Casterly Rock, which is, again, so Dragonstone is on the... For those who need geography, Dragonstone is on the east coast, which is the Summer Sea. And then Casterly Rock is on the west coast, which is the same coast the Iron Islands are on, as well as the Sunset Sea. But I'm just baffled by right now is, if you think about this, there are like, what, over 100,000 Dothraki warriors with her, maybe, or more than that.
As like, yeah,
several Khalasar. A fuck ton.
That's that number seems about right.
And I assume like parts of their citizen populations are probably like around Marine, like camped and like living, chilling with most of their warriors gone. But, like, I want you to think about it this way. Dragonstone is a fucking island. Island made out of, like, fucking dragon glass, which I don't think you can fucking grow shit out of. So, like, How are they all just living there?
Well, I mean, they've only been, dude, they're gonna be there for like, they were there for like a week.
I guess that's true.
Time they're there for like one, like, I mean, maybe it's uncomfortable, you know, maybe it's fucking fire festival conditions there.
Okay,
know?
Sure.
Maybe it's whatever. Like, yeah, Dragonstone brought to you by Ja Rule and they'd have nothing to eat, but still, you know, they got a, feel like they got a shot.
Okay, that's fair. But, alright, so an end of this, Danny's extended the invitation to Jon Snow. I feel like a lot of people have been reading into, like, oh, like, Danny's little, how, like, invite him to bend the knee.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
because, you know, those choice of words.
How could that conversation really go that badly, though? Unless, like, Danny's being really whack and Jon's being really whack also, it's, like, gotta be fine. I really liked this scene, and then the scene where Melly comes in and doesn't die, as I figured she would. I thought Arya was going to kill her.
Yeah, murder child her up.
Yeah, she got all your Dragonstone, fuck. But, yeah, so, like, Melly comes in and is like, oh, you need to go talk to Jon Snow. And they're all, you know, they kind of just are like, oh, okay, why? But I really like the fact that, I was, like, talking to you about this earlier, it's like Tyrion, like, remembers, like, their, like, brief little stint together and is like, oh, I like Jon Snow. He seems cool. Like, all it's dwarfs. Crazy that he's king now.
Yeah, all dwarves are bastards in their father's
eyes. Yeah, and then the flip side of that is, like, Jon's like, oh, yeah, I seem to remember Tyrion being, like, pretty chill, like, as far as that goes.
He taught me some important life lessons. Yeah,
and I was happy that Sansa didn't fucking rat him out. Because, like, Sansa was kind of shitty to, I mean, good reason, but Sansa was shitty to Tyrion, like, even when he was, like, trying to not. Yeah,
the only, like, I think really fun scene they had together was when they were, like, talking about, like,
yeah, they're, like, making jokes,
and then literally someone brings news, and it's like, oh, by the way, we murdered your entire family.
Yeah, it's like Law Red Wedding.
Yeah, that
is a bummer. I guess that would sour any newlywed scenario that they may have had. The honeymoon period ended at that point in time, if there ever was one, but, I mean, yeah, that's just setting up. So, like, next episode's gonna be awesome because it's gonna, like, John and Danny are gonna be in the same room. It's gonna be sweet. I just, like, I can't see how John would be, like, anti. Like, if Danny was like, oh, you have to recognize me as the queen, I can't see John saying no to that. And maybe that's what the conflict ends up being between him and Sansa, is that he goes down here and she's just like, I'm really gonna have to insist that you're not the king of the North. And he's like, well, I don't really give a shit, but all these other people really, really do.
This is true.
And then Danny's gonna be like, well, fuck you, like, you need to save them. Are you gonna basically do the thing that who the fuck was that guy? Wildling camp guy?
Oh, Mance Rayder.
Mance. Are you gonna, like, do the thing that Mance couldn't do that you were telling him to do?
Yeah.
Which is basically just like, dude, bend the knee, don't be a prick. You told everybody a second ago that you're not, like, dying for pride. You're just, like, trying to fucking, like, win the war here. So, I feel he'll do that. Sansa will be butthurt, and Littlefinger will find her a way to make her butthurt. And then she'll get the fact that all the lords want, like, a Stark in the North or whatever, they'll immediately just turn on Jon, because everybody always does.
Yeah.
And then Jon's gonna have to kill Sansa before they can even fight the Night's King.
I love how you just are so set on the fact that Jon is gonna kill Sansa. Like, I feel like you're just suck. Waiting for
it. It's gonna be the worst. All these prophecies are terrible. That's always what happens. There's something, some shittiness always happens.
No, yeah. It's just... Okay, so, I mean, I also could see that going some fun ways, because I think what's going to happen is, I think there could potentially belay this conflict between Jon and Danny. Again, I don't think it's going to happen this episode, but I think at the end of this episode, what could happen is Bran is going to arrive back at Winterfell, because, like, now that Arya is going home, they're definitely putting all the Starks back together.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if Sansa is gonna, like, use Bran maybe to, like, oh, like, you're the real Stark who should be ruling the North or something. But also, I think more so Bran is gonna tell her who Jon's parents are.
Ooh, yeah. In which case, he can't be he won't be the king of the North anymore. He'd just be king normally, wouldn't he?
Yeah. I guess.
Sorry, I was just getting a phone call from our number one fan. Sorry, Claire. I am actively ignoring a call from you right now, which you will hear later, but I will call you back soon. Our professionalism just abounds.
Yes, thank you, Jesus.
Yeah.
But, okay, so I guess...
So all Starks come back to Winterfell. Brandon gonna be used as a pawn. That's what you're thinking?
Yeah.
Dude, how's anybody gonna make Bran do anything now?
Well, I really hope it's not the pawn route. I just really hope that it's like that's the first passing of this information. We've, you know, like book readers waited like years and years for, and we've just like been blown up at the end of last season.
And if you cross brand, he's gonna warg into you and have you jump off the walls.
Jesus Christ. So,
which apparently not deadly if you do, according to Theon and Sansa.
You know, the snows have to be right though.
Yeah, it's true. It has to be fresh pow, otherwise not a chance.
Break dead.
Yeah.
Okay, so
Miranda. The best character of all
so
time.
So, the only... Oh, so, okay. So, we gotta figure out how Dorne might come back into the fold after the end of this episode.
Dude, they won't. They're gonna end up being... They're gonna end up having... They're gonna end up...
Just being nothing.
Yeah.
And like, the worst plot line that stemmed from possibly the coolest character
ever. Or they're gonna join up with the Lannisters, dude.
Under, like, Darkstar.
No, but under... Maybe under... I mean, maybe there was a... like, somebody who was like, hey, Ilaria's in charge of Dorne. I don't want her to be in charge of Dorne. We should... Like, she murdered Prince Doran.
Yeah.
That's fucked up. And then communicated with Euron or Cersei that. And was like, yo, fucking kill those bitches. And then I'll be in charge. I'll be loyal to you.
Be loyal to you. That could be it.
I feel like that's gonna happen. And then they're gonna fight Highgard. And it's gonna be a clusterfuck. And then everything's gonna get lit on fire.
All things are ice and fire. That's how this series will end.
For sure.
But and then I guess the Tyrells are attempting to mobilize. I guess there's the other big allegiance is
LeBron, Kevin Love, and Kyrie Irving.
Jesus Christ. Yes. So Cersei, Jaime, and then fucking
Euron. Qyburn.
Qyburn. Yeah. Qyburn. No. Fucking.
That doesn't have a shame.
Tarly. What's?
Randall.
Randall Tarly.
The boy.
So, I think he might betray Elena. I think that's going to happen.
Oh, I think it's definitely going to happen. He sucks.
I think the fact that they've recast Dickon Tarly yet again to be just, like, way less fuckboy looking. It's like, oh, this guy actually probably looks strong and, like, he knows how to fight. I think the last Dickon was someone from, like, an MTV show.
I don't know. He was just like, oh, we shot a boar from really far.
Yeah, now he just
how
looks...
How is the Night's Watch?
Yeah. There's no such thing as White Walkers.
Yeah, that dude. Yeah, fuck that guy.
Well, he's gone. They recast the shit out of him.
There's like another guy who never said anything here.
Yeah.
So.
Okay, and I also love how they made that show. Oh, Rickon. It's like, no, Dickon. It's like the hard D is inserted in there.
Yeah, and which is like a joke about how stupid his name is and also a joke about the fact that he's been recast twice.
Yes. okay.
It's me.
So I guess at that point, I could see... The Reach then being caught up in a standstill between Randall Tarly leading the rest of the Reach Lords in, like, containing the Tyrell men to Highgarden. And, like, because Olenna Tyrell's not there. Like, I have no idea. He might just take all the Tyrell men because, like, aren't the, you know, the Tyrell Bannermen are, yes, the ones within their reach of Highgarden, but also, like, you know, he's trained, like, half of the men in the Reach. They're probably more loyal to, like, the Tarly soldiers.
Well, especially once, like, you know, Olenna, like, all of her, that whole family is, like, dead except for the old one. So it's, like, once, like, the old lady dies, like, who's up next? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, exactly.
So that is an interesting thing, too, because it's, like, they also, like, another fucking appeal to racism, dude.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Dude, fuck the wildlings is a lot of mileage, honestly. Like, the last two seasons...
Fuck the savages.
The last two seasons have very artfully, like, mirrored, like, Donald Trump's, like, ascent. Like,
please don't bring this into something I love.
If you just appeal to people's racist, basic-ass tendencies, then you can convince them to do some stupid-ass things. Like, go against the only people in the world with super weapons on a whim.
No, yeah. Yeah, and that's true, I guess, because, like, you know, the Reach Lords, isn't Highgarden, like, very, like, classy, and, like, we're, like, above everyone else, like, chivalry is at its brightest down here.
Yeah.
As Ned says, like, knights, they prance around like roosters. Yeah.
They're fancy as fuck down there. That's where Renly Baratheon and Loras have thrived.
Yeah.
So, which means high-minded as well.
That being said, I guess it's tight. There's, like, advanced medicine in the Citadel.
Yeah.
Which they
don't let people use?
Which
bullshit.
Is, well, I mean, I guess it looks pretty fucked up. You are causing someone what looks like a terrifying amount of pain.
Yeah.
But it is also so they don't go crazy and die.
But also, like, Would it have been as painful if Sam wasn't using some bootleg ass ingredients? Like, don't they have isn't that what milk of the poppy is supposed to be? Why don't you give him a bunch of that shit?
That's
put him
true. The fuck to sleep. That's true. I guess he could have done that.
But instead, he's just like, here, get drunk. I'm just gonna scrape this off of you with some shit I found in the kitchen.
Turns out there's a lot of it on your body, and this is gonna take a while.
Yeah, I'm really glad they at least ended that scene when they did. I thought it was gonna be a lot longer because they spent so much time with the shit buckets before. Yeah, they clearly have no problem. They must have just filmed all those old town scenes, and one guy was just like, you know what, this is the best we've done. Yeah.
let's
fuck all those effects on the boat fight. We just I just love this shot, and I love this shot, and I love poop, I can't pick
poop, pus, pick, and scabs, just yeah. The holy trinity of gross.
Yeah, we need that, and we also need lobbing livers over the shoulder.
I guess the real reward to the scene then is 100% just fucking how the transition to the return of Hot Pie.
Oh yeah, for sure.
That's literally the jump cut. It's a stew, and then talk of people in going to King's Landing for context, that spoon feeding context, that Arya's much closer to King's Landing now. Mm. And as soon as I heard that, I was like, oh, I bet Hot Pie is here.
Hot Pie's always here,
which is amazing.
He works for the only recession proof inn in all of Westeros.
Yes, yeah. Apparently. Yeah, I guess because it's so close to King's Landing, maybe.
Yeah, it's gotta be. But it's
and they prepared.
But they seem fine. That place is popping. Yeah, there's so many people there, and nobody was trying to kill each other.
He has the time to brown the butter.
Yeah, all those other inns in the north are just the floor is snow, and it's always a torturer and the Hound are the only two patrons that they ever have. And they just kill each other for chickens.
Oh, Jesus, I know.
Inns are horrible in this show. Oh, I would not run an inn. There's one out of 10 inns. Because even that one with fucking Tyrion and Kat, he just gets arrested for no fucking reason. And they all just march off to the top of a mountain.
where half of them die.
Yeah, exactly. That's
so I remember that scene. I was a lot of people just died out of nowhere.
Yeah, because they were wearing the wrong merit badge when Catelyn was like, is that the bullshit of House Fuck Yourself I see on your sweater?
The bats of House Wend.
Yeah.
The twin towers of Frey.
It's I think that you're sworn to serve me.
House Bracken has always been a loyal blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, exactly. It's I don't want to imply anything, but roll number... come up this mountain.
That's literally what she did, though.
Yeah, that sucks. Callan sucked.
Yeah, well, I mean, if anyone has suffered the most for her decision-making in both, actually, the books and...
And the show.
And the show, it's definitely her.
But she makes all the worst decisions, so it's, justifiable.
But worst decisions for the best reasons.
Yeah, dude, but they're, so obviously wrong every time she makes those. Oh, they're so bad. It's dude, you're really gonna,
Let send Jamie Brienne go. And
Jamie away? That's so crazy.
So stupid.
It's also that's never gonna work. Ever. In a million years.
There's also all that guilt. I do miss Michelle Fairley on the show, because probably one of my favorite scenes is when she's
I'm assuming that's the actress who plays Catelyn.
Yes, she's making that fucking thing for her children. Oh yeah,
the giant dream catcher.
And explaining how she just wished John would die.
Oh yeah.
And then he almost did and said, I take it back, I'll love him. And then she just broke this promise. And it's maybe that's why you literally died far away from all but one of your children. Yeah,
it's because Bran, the aka the old gods, heard her and punished her accordingly.
Yeah, dude, because she's not of the north.
No, she's not. She's some bullshit from down south.
I also love that quip from her sister in the one season that, oh yeah, your mom used to be fat, Sansa. I'm bringing this up now. She's dead, and she used to be fat.
Was that Lysa?
Yeah.
That sucks. Lysa sucks. That's really funny.
Because I think she was I brought lemon cakes. Peter brought them for you. Your mom used to like these. She used to be fat.
Jeez, that's tough. That's tough because she got, that was immediately post Red Wedding. There's probably a lot of feelings tied up in that shit.
But I feel like Arya scenes this week, not too much substance, mostly just fan service and just an extended way to be hey, Arya's going home instead of going to murder Cersei. The Starks are getting back together. That's literally all those scenes amounted to.
Yeah, I mean, they're setting up more reunions like, good and bad.
Yeah.
You know, they're just setting up the John Tanny reunion, which is dope. They're setting up the, like...
All well, that's the, not like, really a reunion. Oh, the yeah. real reunion there but, is going to be Melisandre Davos.
Oh, yeah. That's going to go really bad. I'm assuming maybe Melisandre will get the fuck out of Dodge before that happens. Yeah, also, Davos can keep his shit together.
No, that's true. Like, I'm not worried about him losing his shit. It's just going to be like... I don't need another exchange of, like... Yeah, she's awful. Well, blah, I had no choice. And it's like, great, shut up. You're not in charge here.
It could be the end of, honestly, though, him making the accusation, though, could be the end of her in the eyes of Danny. In this which case, true. That could cause some things.
Because she does hate child murder.
She really does.
She really hates burning, child murder.
Burning children alive is definitely, like, lies outside of Danny's... general like worldviews antagonistic to that.
I'm shocked. I guess like there's so few things going on in the north that more people don't know about that, because I'm shocked like Varys doesn't know that, like, oh, didn't you fucking burn Stryce Baratheon?
Yeah, and he was also already starting in on her, and he like doesn't, if he was doing that, he would definitely have gone straight to burning kids. Varys has been fucking busy though.
That's true. Well, it's also because like,
and the little birds have been busy killing fucking Pycelle.
That's true. Because the big thing is like yes, all of those Baratheon men were slaughtered, but after he burned Serene, all of the sellswords left with the horses, so they're still alive and definitely spreading, like, yo, dude, probably getting drunk in Essos somewhere, like, yo, dude, we fucking saw this, like, dude burn his daughter. We just got the hell out of Dodge, because that shit's fucked up.
We immediately left.
We immediately was like, hey, we were paid already. Why the fuck would we stay here?
We get another half if we stay out there through this blizzard.
Yeah, Westeros doesn't do mercenaries any justice. Like, I'm sorry, not Westeros, the series. They're just like, mercenaries are awful. Never use them.
And then they always get used somehow. Anyway, everyone always says that. They're like, oh, you never trust a sellsword. And then everyone's always fucking relying on him for all kinds of shit.
I wonder if that's a lesson from, like, Rome versus Carthage, because... You know, Rome was built on, like, the citizen army. That's why, like, it was so strong and well-trained. Because it's like, oh, like, all of you have to fucking serve in this army. Whereas in Carthage, everyone was, like, fucking merchants. And there was, like, less, And they were like, oh, yeah, we're just, like, half of our army are just mercenaries. Yeah. If you play Rome 2 Total War, that's how your army system is based.
Well, shit, I haven't played Rome 2 Total War.
Well, if your computer can't handle it.
Dude, my computer can't handle shit.
Well, sucks. Anyway. any other... Okay, obviously more happened in this episode, but, like...
I mean, we haven't touched on Euron at all.
Right, we're building up to that. I want to end with the best part of this episode.
Oh, yeah, I guess there's Nymeria and Wolf reunion, which is, like, I think a lot of people cared about a lot more than I did.
That was just so, so fan service-y because, I mean, if you're a show watcher, you don't even know about that. But if you're a book reader, you're like, oh, yeah, like the rumors when traveling through the river.
Yeah, exactly.
Large packs of wolves. Yeah, led by a giant she-wolf.
Yeah, it's in the books so much.
Also,
they go through, like, painstaking lengths.
Also, Arya, like, has warg dreams with Nymeria, like, running, right?
All the time.
Like maybe they did.
Like every single time you have an Arya chapter, always
did they do that in the show, or was that just Bran who was having hunting dreams?
It was pretty much Bran. Okay. Yeah.
Okay, well,
play it down for all the other dudes.
Maybe I could see there being a Nymeria cameo at like the final season, but yeah, I don't know. But okay, Cersei, Jaime, nothing really important came of that.
Yeah, I mean. When did we even fucking see Cersei?
Oh, only in that scene where she's appealing to, like, the lords against,
when
like,
she's,
hey, racism.
Yeah, yeah, the playing the racist card with all of her,
playing,
like,
the Kelly Conway
male bannermen. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, at least you're serving a white woman. How about that? Daenerys is foreign.
Yeah, she's a foreigner, and her grandfather, or sorry, her dad was a crazy person.
Yeah.
Double race.
Yeah, Cersei sucks. And also the fact that Jaime has also been shown to be, that they also like foreshadowed this when he called all of the Ironborn bitter little men.
Oh yeah.
Bitter little people.
Who can only steal things that better men have built.
Yeah, exactly. So we already know where Jaime fucking sits.
Which is funny because also another great podcast. They're not at all affiliated with us, but Hardcore History, if you just like learning about that shit and it's in fun ways, this the guy on that podcast does a history of the Mongols. And it turned out that they were the racists. They were just, like, okay with burning cities to the ground because they just thought, like, oh, you're not horse people. You're, like, farmers. Lesser beings. Destroy them.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, cultures
are countering. And then eventually, like, some, like, Chinese scholars were like, hey, like, money is pretty tight, and if you let us just do this shit, we'll just give you a lot of money. Please don't fucking burn our villages to the ground.
We got long-term plans.
Whereas, like, the Ironborn is like, no, yeah, like, sow their fields with salt.
Yeah, Ironborn's sick.
Let the sea claim the village.
The Ironborn's sick, but, you know, it doesn't suck. Euron, he's Ironborn. I think Euron's a dope villain.
But right before we go to Euron, who I think will be key in making this less stupid than it actually was, there was another Cersei scene with Qyburn!
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 Oh, yeah.
The ballista scene in the Dragon Tombs.
Oh, yeah, the fucking Chekhov's scorpion or whatever that is.
I think it's... Okay, so... I do know there's a difference between a scorpion and a ballista. I think we might have to look this up. But while I'm looking... No, I'm doing this right now. But while we're looking that up, it's definitely, to me, somewhat of an homage to Joffrey, because what was Joffrey's favorite little fuckboy weapon? Like,
yeah, crossbow.
His crossbow that it's like, oh, it's also modified, so it just shoots faster.
Yeah, which is also a classic.
Oh, and I guess that's how Tywin died, so it's all, like...
It's a classic Qyburn move to the science guy. They've got Bill Nye on their squad, so they're just using him. Also, like, I don't know, like, does the bolt going through, like, that super old dragon skull really necessarily mean that that will be the same result?
So, I think what, like...
I mean, like, point taken.
No, for sure. I think, like, what this is more indicative of is that, you know, keep in mind, dragons haven't existed for, I think, 2-3 generations, so about 100-plus years now, so people, like... don't know how to fight them.
I think it's like a couple hundred.
Or 300. Well, the dynasty is only 300 years old. Was the Dance of Dragons 100 years after Aegon's landing? Anyway, that's not a discussion for right now.
At least 200 years.
It's okay, whatever. Not a discussion for right now. But it's more that that they're demystifying. That's all they did in that scene. Like, oh, cool. It's not like this ballista's, like, really special. It's like, no, we're actually making these because we don't have any. Like, we've talked about how King's Landing in the past has been so shittily defended, which is why, like, it's a shock Stannis wasn't able to take the city.
Mm-hmm.
But more so that, like, we're aware that, like, dragons aren't immortal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think it's also just foreshadowing that definitely Dany's going to lose a dragon.
Probably too.
And then I think in the final season, like, the big dragon reveal moment, it's like, oh, now this dragon somehow has fucking Valyrian steel armor on it or something. But that's definitely the thing. It's mostly just like, no, like, dragons bleed. That's the whole lesson of that scene. Not like, oh, we made this super cool weapon that will save us from the dragons. It's like, no, like, we know they're coming and we'll be as ready as we can. And we know we shouldn't be as afraid as we, like, are, you know?
Mm-hmm.
That being said, a dragons still are just a huge super weapon. Like, ballista aside, like, it's still going to be pretty hard to deal with that shit.
And that's also, like, pretty much going to require them to be attacked at King's Landing with dragons, you know?
Yes.
Because otherwise, like, you know, what if they're just, like, fighting somewhere else? And there's, like, siege over here. Like, ballista ain't going to help out with starvation unless blacksmiths have been making food all week or whatever, however long they've had to prepare. How long have they been preparing, I wonder? A couple months? I guess Euron built 1,000 ships in, like, 5 minutes.
Yeah, so the joke, while I was watching this with Nate and Lucas, like, I was internally, like, saying this to myself, but Nate also just kept jokingly saying, like, time passes so fast now.
Yeah.
Arya went from, like, the inn at the crossroads all the way to, like, where Nymeria was released, which is, like, more near the twins, and it's just like, oh, that's actually a long time. It took Arya and the Hound, like, 6 episodes to do that.
Yeah.
Okay. So, ballista apparently are more for siege in the sense of destroying walls, where scorpions were more anti-infantry. So I think in this case, this is a scorpion, because you can't shoot a bolt at a wall and, like, expect it to do shit.
So. Shouts out Age of Empires 2.
Right?
For sure. But
it's all about the mangonel. How do you say it?
I have no idea. I've never had to say it. I know what you're. I know what words you're referring to, but I've never spoken them out loud.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah.
Anyway, but okay, so yeah, other than other than Scorpion bullshit aside, the Cersei's best move here has definitely been Euron Greyjoy.
Yeah, definitely. The boy who definitely...
Pilau Auspec.
Yeah, he comes on, as Benioff and Weiss would say, now he starts walking the walk.
Walking the fucking walk. We knew this.
Do some of the things he says, they talks about. But you proceed. We proceed that sweet battle scene with really pointless Ilaria Yara, like flirtation in front of Euron.
Oh yeah.
Who also just fucking in front of Theon rather. Theon just like puts out so bad. He is such a little like whelp in this episode.
Well, I mean, like, he went from showing dong in the first season to like, well, I guess he doesn't have one anymore, so.
Yeah, he did kill a hell of people though prior to his failing. Like, yeah. It seemed like he was like performing pretty well for himself up until he like met his uncle's eye and was like, ah.
Yeah, well, and I think he also saw like, it's not like the Ironborn around him were, like, just dying. It's like, no, there were some people, like, cutting ears off and doing fucking weird shit.
Cutting tongues out, dude.
Yeah, doing weird shit, because they're... And, like, that shit's just, like, PTSD city. As Benioff and Weiss said, you know, like, as we were writing this, you realize, like, you just don't get over these experiences. And, you know, Theon's definitely just still struggling with that. It's a part of him.
Boagrius. Anytime Benioff and Weiss are referenced, just...
But, other than Yara and, you know, Ilaria Sand touching each other... Oh, which actually brings me back to a scene we did forget about. That we actually... It is forgettable because it's stupid and pointless and it made me really angry.
Oh, yeah!
Grey Worm Missandei!
Yes. That's, yeah.
What, you know,
reminding everybody that you don't necessarily, you know, you don't need an erection in order to be an effective partner, as long as you're giving and selfless.
This is true. It's more just like...
Also, they didn't satisfy the, like, premium cable mandate of, like, showing us, like, the castrated man's, like, pelvis. They showed a lot of restraint there.
Yeah, instead they just showed all of her, which, you know... 18-year-old Steven probably be like, oh, it's tight. But adult Steven is like, hey, this is unnecessary. Why are you asking this of your actress and that actor even after we just had a great scene that could have just ended in a kiss?
Yeah.
And implications.
Yeah, well,
hey, you know what? We're smart.
Premium
this is,
cable, dude.
This isn't the 20s where, like, literally people believe that if things didn't happen in exact order, like, in a movie, which is fair, because movies were brand new, like, people wouldn't be able to keep up with the story.
Yeah.
Like, if it wasn't, like, he's walking from the store to the train, now we're at the train, he's walking on the train, now he's on the... If it just... And then it suddenly just went to, like, oh, now he's in a park, people would just be like, yo, that's fucked up, how did he get there?
Yeah.
Like, we're not stupid. We probably are like, oh, they're probably having a romantic evening together because they just professed their love for each other.
And we're in the habit of suspending our disbelief in such a way to allow those narratives to flourish with fewer points.
Yes.
Which means you can have narratives that span longer distances.
Thank you, English major.
But in cinema, dude, you're cut off by that 3 hours, you know?
Exactly.
So that's why you gotta leave some...
Instead, you're just like, oh, hey, Natalie Emmanuel, you gotta get naked this season. Hey, we know we made you do this already.
Congratulations. Yeah. In that one scene where she just stands above the river for, like, 10 seconds.
And she's like, ugh.
And, like, very slowly covers herself.
I mostly just, I don't know, it's just so, it ruined the scene for me.
No, I just didn't, like, I was just chuckling the whole time because they're doing a eunuch romance plotline in the show, which is just so pointless.
All right, well, anyway, moving along.
Whatever. Missy and the Worm.
I do enjoy, as you put, that our farewell to the Sand Snakes is, like, started off with just a reminder on that ship of just how terrible... they are.
Yeah, they're just having an annoying conversation
about who they're gonna kill.
Just being really annoying.
Mama.
Yeah, it's like, all right.
I will say, Jessica. I see. The thing is, I do like all of those actresses, except for Ty and San. And it's not that I don't like her; it's just I don't.
Is Tyene the last one who's left?
Yeah, I don't know anything about her.
I mean, I don't think she wrote her own lines, so, like, it's...
No, yeah, so I have nothing against her.
Who could have delivered the line, you want a good girl, but you need bad pussy? Like, who could have delivered that line on a prestige drama show and, like, succeeded? There's nobody. That was just a fucking disaster. Whoever wrote that.
Holly Berry in a Catwoman costume couldn't have pulled that.
Yeah, that was, whoever wrote that should fucking
maybe it's
really
the same fucking writer who created Ollie.
Probably.
Jesus.
Yeah.
But
yeah, they've been the Sand Snakes were awesome characters in the books that were really they were turned.
They just needed plot, and the show didn't have enough room to give them plot. Like, and you know how they would have been given plot if they made Arian Martell a character.
Yeah, exactly.
But then think about that because you would have then literally we would have spent like a good third. It would have had to have been a third or a quarter of that season where like Jamie Braun are adventuring to Dorne. Actually with people who have no grounds in this world other than like maybe we're introduced to them because Ilaria is telling them what happened. But other than that, it's like, hey, who are any of these people?
God, that would have been so good though.
It would have. It would have been refreshing.
That's what they did in the books and it was dope.
Yeah, it would have been refreshing.
I mean, why would you like fucking flinch now? It's like,
because
HBO's
been way too careful. They're like, no, we need to make sure this stays streamlined enough for everyone that now watches the show to keep up with it.
Trash. But anyway, yeah, so that mistake was met with the gruesome end by...
And, again, more fan service.
Yeah, that's
just
true.
Like...
But although, I mean, it's like, at this point, it's like, people are gonna be dying. So.
Yeah, well, Keisha Castle Hughes, Obara San just gets, really almost, like, straight up impaled. Like, just lifted up, and, like, her body definitely falls down through that spear a little bit.
Yeah, little Vlad the Impaler action going on, which is tough. And then girl with whip on a boat fight.
Yeah,
it's just
Nymeria,
like, she was
and,
fucked from the beginning.
Yeah, and, oh, yeah, Jessica Henwick, who is in The Force Awakens.
But, like, Tyene doesn't die, though, right?
No, she doesn't.
Third Sand Snake's still chilling, right?
Well, yeah, because
they're both headed back as gifts.
I definitely think Tyene is going to die, and Ilaria is going to watch, and then... There'll probably be another, like, mountain dungeon shame scene.
Yeah, exactly.
None, sister, and LSD.
I don't think there's much hope for either of those two, to be honest with you. I just can't possibly see any scenario in which either of them doesn't die.
No.
So, unless, like, Tyene's, like, very, like, secretly, like, snake-like and can escape out of captivity. But Euron doesn't seem like he's very likely to leave a lot of, like, avenues for escape.
Oh, this is really fucked up, and I hate that I thought of this, but, so you know how the next episode is Cersei returns a gift?
Mm-hmm.
She could, so you know how they're called the Sand Snakes?
Mm-hmm.
She could literally cut off, like, Tyene's arms and legs so she looks like a snake and send them.
Oh, God.
Be like, hey, I killed Ilaria, here's her daughter, like, don't fuck with me.
God, that's horrible.
Sorry, I just watched 13 Assassins a few weeks ago.
What's that?
It's so it's based on an old Japanese movie called 13 Assassins, but there was one that came out, I think, in 2011. It's actually really cool. But there's a scene where they're like introducing one of the victims of the villain, and it's just like this girl whose like arms and legs have been like cut off, and like she's just been like captive with this dude. And, like, they all just look at this girl and are like, we're going to murder the fuck out of this guy.
Jesus.
Yes. But, yeah, sorry, that's where that thought came from, probably.
Okay, that's horribly intense.
It's a great movie. You should watch that movie, though. It's really good.
Yeah, but, I mean, I don't know. I know that I just reread, like, Euron's, like, in the books is a pretty fucked up dude. But, like, in the show, he seems like he's, like, starting to be crazy the way he is in the books, too.
Yeah.
And in the books, in one of, like, the preview chapters for, like, the next book, he does some, like, really fucked up shit. Like, A, they imply that he, like, consistently, like, raped his little brother when they were kids, which is fucked up. And then B, like, he has, like, that girl who he, like, kidnaps, and she's like, I'm gonna be his, like, salt wife or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
And then, like, the end of that scene is, like, Aeron, his little brother, like, tied to the, like, to the prow of his boat right along next to that girl who had just said that.
Yeah,
with her tongue cut out.
It's like, yeah,
fuck.
I actually do remember reading that.
So fucking brutal. Like, it's like, Jesus, dude, what's going on there?
Yeah, she's a flower. She's a bastard of the Reach. Right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because they have that whole scene where they, like, have all... Where he has all of the... he has all of, like, the ladies serve, like, the servants, like, who are wearing their clothes, and all of, like, the ladies of the house are, like, serving naked.
Yeah.
It's like, role reversal...
So very much like Euron's pretty weird and...
Yeah, he's horrible.
Being welcomed into King's Landing is definitely... King's Landing's where all the fucked up shit happens. Like, he's gonna love it there.
Yeah, he's totally crazy. So
he's gonna visit the whorehouse where, like...
It's gonna be interesting because it's, like, one of those things where, like, obviously him and Cersei are gonna be, like, a super team of, like, shitty people. But, like, I feel like he's, like, crazy unreliable, and the way a plotline like that should work is that, like, you're playing with fire and Cersei ends up getting fucked over, right? Yeah. That kind of thing, because, you know, you shouldn't ally yourself. That's always, like, the lesson that I would expect of a narrative like that, because it's just, like, you don't ally yourself with a guy who cackles over killing his brothers.
Yeah.
But then at the same time, like, wouldn't it be kind of weird if after all of the fucked up shit Cersei's done, the reason for her downfall is this crazy pirate guy? It just feels like that'd be too silly. Like, it has to be, like, Dany or Arya or somebody, or, like, Jaime.
I think it's gonna be Jaime. It's just, like, all roads lead to Jaime. But, I mean, I don't have a lot of evidence for that. It's more just, like, yeah, I just probably think that just makes
sense. What if it's jealousy? What if Euron and Cersei actually hit it off? And then, like, a real marriage?
I mean, like, when she, like, that look happened in the first episode of the season. He's
the second love of her life, you know?
But, so, do you think they pulled off naval combat pretty well?
It was dope. The scene was crazy.
Pretty awesome.
Yeah, it was awesome, yeah.
There actually, I think, have been a lot of Euron entrance videos, like WWE entrance music. Oh, so, yeah. Like, that bridge just come down and he shouts and it goes, keep rolling, rolling, rolling. Yeah.
I mean, is that Euron's music I hear?
Or I think there's also one to, like, John Cena's music, which is like the da 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 da.
Oh, yeah. That'd be the first one I would think of.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. But, so I think the major difference here is, when Yara took the Iron Fleet, obviously Euron has been newer, better galley-sized ships instead of long ships. Do you think most of her fleet was all long ships then?
No, I don't think so. I think she took a bunch of the best ships, and then he just built a bunch of huge ones, and his was the biggest, and that's the one we saw.
Silence.
Yeah.
Okay. I hate that, like, we haven't really talked about what's probably going to happen to Yara or Theon, but is it bad that I don't?
Yeah, I don't really care, to be honest. Yeah. They've always been like, dude, Theon's like, Alfie Allen has been collecting a paycheck for a long time for Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
And his character is like, Theon's a cockroach for sure, but like, I
wonder, like, where is this cockroach gonna scurry away to?
Yeah, we've seen that character die already, pretty much. And Yara's cool, but she's always like, she's always doing something like not that important seeming in the show.
And so, like, maybe she might die.
Yeah, I don't think the show has a lot of, like, face time left to spare for characters like Yara and Theon, to be honest.
Nope, not at all.
Yeah, there's, like, a lot of other stuff going on. I'm surprised that Beric and Thoros are back in the fold. I was kind of surprised by that.
Yeah.
I mean, not really, but kind of. It's, like,
it's limited. It was a logical place. Otherwise, the Hound coming back, like, they were like, what is he going to do?
Yeah. Like, how would anyone, like, convince him?
Although the Hound is clearly, we actually didn't talk about this too much last time. Hound is clearly moving in the opposite direction of where the Mountain is.
Oh, yeah, definitely. No. But, like, you know, fucking people travel so fucking fast.
That's
now.
True. Time is blah, it's TV time.
I read something that said one of the, like, prophecies, like, the last hero, and it, like, talks about how they go up to find the children of the forest, and all of his companions, even his dog, dies. And I'm wondering if, like, the dog is the Hound. so that it's not Ghost. Probably just Ghost, though.
It's probably, yeah.
All the direwolves die. Even Ghost, who's always locked up in a closet somewhere.
Oh, yeah. I wonder if Jon is going to bring Ghost to Dragonstone. So, Jon's now headed to Dragonstone with Davos.
If he leaves Ghost behind, he'll die on the voyage. If he leaves Ghost behind, it always happens.
Do you think there's any merit to the Peter-Jon scene in the tombs? To me, that was just like, cool, Jon's like Ned. Great.
Yeah, exactly.
That was literally that whole scene.
Yeah, well, and it's going to, like, I think, say what you will about Peter being, like, calculating, but he definitely, like, you know, I don't think that Peter likes getting beat up by dudes who are bigger and stronger than he is.
No,
I think
not at all.
I think he takes that shit pretty personally, so that's not, so he's gonna probably be working on Sansa in earnest.
Do you think Sansa might try to declare herself ruler of the North? The other Northern lords don't support her, so she has to use the Knights of the Vale because they have a larger force to, like, retain.
No, dude, I think that she's gonna get them on a fuck the wildlings play, with Arya, or with Daenerys, because Jon's gonna go down, and he's like, all right, I'm not king of the North anymore, we're not our own separate kingdom, fuck it, whatever, here's help, it's coming at some point, but they have to do X, X, and Y first, and then they'll be like, fuck you,
no racism,
yeah, exactly, and then
Sansa king of the North,
I'll be the queen, fuck you guys, and then Sansa will maybe end up getting killed by Dany. Oh shoot!
Oh, I like our new mix. I still love how all roads lead to Sansa dying.
Dude, she's just so tragic. How is she just gonna have a happy
ending? I know she has to be her mother's daughter.
Her arc is so depressing. It's gonna stay depressing.
I mean, the real hero. I like how I feel like universally everyone's favorite character is probably Arya. So yeah. I'm kind of fine with just Arya, last woman alive.
No, yeah, last dark ladies.
Arya, and then what's her name? Mira.
Oh, yeah. Mira. Yeah, I would hate for Mira to die.
Because then that would be the ultimate carryover of Ned and Howland legacy. It's just, like, Arya who, like, trying to murder someone and, like, fails. And then Mira saves her. And it's like, oh, the legacy endures. Swamp people and wolves.
really the perfect match. I mean, I don't think there's anything that... I think we're pretty much doing the book show shit intermingling.
We are.
Do you have any, like... What's, like... I mean, we have, like, the last scene that we already talked about. I think we already talked a little bit about what we're thinking. But, like, what do you think's going to happen in the next episode?
All right. So, next episode, definitely Unsullied take Casterly Rock.
Yeah, for sure. They're going to give a W to the good guys.
I do think the reason we waited so long for this season is because it's, like, there's going to be, like, at least cool battles in, like, every episode.
Oh, yeah. Like the fact that they already started on 2 is great.
Yeah. Like, thumbs up to them. Yeah,
it's, like, sweet, like, naval fight with cool storms and, like, effects everywhere.
Yeah. I don't really know what's going to happen in the North. I think there's a chance we might not see Arya this episode.
The next one?
Yeah. I think this could be a lot of Jon, Dany, and then I could see a lot of King's Landing, Cersei dealing with the Sand Snakes. Although, I will say the episode preview, not the preview, the description of the next episode, makes me think they might skip over that. makes me be, like, the first scene is literally, like, Euron returning, and then it's just fast forward to, like, heads being sent to Dany that are, you know, Alaria.
That's possible. Such. There's definitely a Euron, like, basking in the adoration of King's Landing scene that's coming, because that was in a preview.
And he's holding ropes, and it makes me think, oh, are you dragging your prisoners along
behind
or something?
You, yeah.
But it also, I couldn't tell, it's not obvious. It could have been the reins of his horse, so.
Yeah, totally.
But, I'm mostly just looking forward to more fighting, because, yeah, dude, the dialogue scenes are definitely more just, like, leading up to just, like, no, something cool is going to happen.
Yeah, I mean, it's going
to
be a lot
There's less, like, Tywin talking to Arya in Harrenhal about, like, teaching his son to read.
Yeah, Danny and John hashing it out. It's gonna be great,
yeah,
though.
At least we're getting some of it. Like, I will say the council scene was very good.
Yeah, my favorite scenes were in this episode. And then, like, Tyrion the ones were the scenes where they were just presaging, like, the meeting between those two. Because it's like, well, those are the two people who are, like, gonna have to be doing everything, so it'd be nice to just get them on screen together.
I wonder how, like, they've really sped up time, and I get it. We've waited a long time for this shit. Like, South Park made a whole joke about when are the fucking dragons coming. But, like, I wonder if they actually had, like, because it's very weird for me now. Because, like, before it's like, oh, when are they going to hit these bookmarkers? And there haven't been bookmarkers for about, like, this entire season. And then, like, most of last season, although they'd, like, thread in some old book plot lines. Mm-hmm. So it's very... It's a little harder for me to be, I think, as critical as I have been of previous seasons. But at the same time, this show does feel this season of the show feels the most different than it's ever felt for me.
Yeah. Well, it's because you know there's only going to be 7 episodes or whatever, so.
Oh, that's right. I keep forgetting that.
Yeah.
God, I hate that.
Yeah, that's bullshit. Should just make 10. Fuck it.
No, it's fine, dude. Like.
Yeah, I mean, they're
all... We want fighting all the time. Like, we got to compromise somewhere.
Yeah, that's true.
But my big question, do you think Bran is going to come back this episode?
Man, I mean...
For me,
I do. I think Bran's probably going to get to Winterfell this episode, because why would he be at the Wall? He'd just be hanging out with Ed. They don't know each other.
Also, Ed just looks so terrified of, like, the future.
Yeah, he just looks out beyond the Wall and is just like, eh.
Shit. Yeah. But, yeah, or, like, also, you'd also think, like, the Wall would send a raven, although I guess Bran might still want to be, like, traveling, like, in incognito.
It's possible. Also, like...
Also, wait, there's no maester at Castle Black to send Rafe.
Yeah, that's true. Either, like, just, like, yeah, I don't think anyone would know how. They probably all ran away on the Fist of the First Men anyway. God, the wall fucking sucks. Maybe, like, yeah, Tormund will roll through and be like, oh, cripple.
Yeah. But I think it's obvious to say there's not going to be a White Walker battle, I think, till after episode 4. Because it seems like right now we're just... It's been a lot of fighting in the south. That's where literally all the conflicts have been.
Mm-hmm.
The north is just, like, still rallying.
Yeah, I mean, there's going to be a sweet Eastwatch battle on, like, episode 4, where they just get overrun by the Night King, and it becomes a total clusterfuck. And that's going to be the thing that actually finally pivots people to being like, oh, zombies, real.
Yeah. Oh, God, it's going to be terrifying.
Yeah, it's going to be fun, though.
The real tragedy is that I hope there's another, like, showing of northern banners, and I hope the Skagosi are there.
Oh yeah, tight.
That's my new obsession. Last season was the Manderleys, now it's the Skagosi.
Yeah, well, dude, they're in the books, and they have a cool backstory. They're
tight, and they could have, you know, the Starks might have Skagosi blood.
Dude, and Ned's mom, yes.
Yeah, dude. Little trivia there.
Cannibals.
But anyway, since we've drifted this far, it's been a great episode. This season, you know what? My brain's on autopilot versus more so than other seasons, probably because I'm working a lot now too, but also just because, like, it's just so much easier to absorb and there's, like, just less things to break down because everything is a lot more streamlined and a less, like, all of the plots are still separated, but they're all still in the realm of, like, how we're still just guessing, instead of just guessing where they're going to intersect in a few seasons. It's like, oh, where are they going to intersect, like, fucking next episode?
Yeah, the scope of plausible, like, possibilities is narrowing.
Yeah, so it's going to be fun.
It's going to be chill.
Thanks for listening, guys. This has been another episode of Talk Sex with Podrick Payne.
Bye.